Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather, Lord God, to worship you, to glorify you. And Father, as we look into your word, I ask that you would speak to each one individually, Lord God, that your words will be personalized in them, Father, and everybody comes away with a little more of your wisdom, more love, more acceptance, more of you, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. What comes to mind when we consider the meaning surrender? Cease resistance, yield, concede, submit, giving up, all those things kind of pop into our heads. But it seems in general that surrender means defeat. But for a Christian, there's a different meaning. Surrender means victory. When we surrender our lives as a living sacrifice to the Lord and seek His will above our own, our lives change. The Lord opens our hearts and our minds. He teaches us, guides us, walks with us in good times and in times of trials, and always He loves us. What a blessing it is to surrender to the Lord and be born again. Therefore, looking at Romans, we see, therefore I urge you, brethren and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In this letter, Paul addresses God's people in Rome as brothers and sisters. And we know from scriptures preceding this that Paul had never yet been to Rome. Yet, he still addresses the churches in Rome as family. Paul knows that when we are saved through faith in Jesus, we are adopted into the family of God. Therefore, we are all brothers and sisters, irregardless of where you are, whether you've met before. We are all brothers and sisters through Christ Jesus. In Romans it says, this is 5-6, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praise of your name. So looking at the early church, we know many of the teachers of the gospel, the apostles, and many of their followers had actually heard Jesus speak. They had witnessed miracles. They were people who sat with the 5,000 who were fed by Jesus, people who watched him come into Jerusalem, unbelievable time in our history. People would have been, many of them, full of the Holy Spirit and excited and overwhelmed. Just imagine what that would have been like. Acts 2:42-45 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Acts 46 and 47, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their home and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What an exciting time in history. Jesus had made a way not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles as well, to receive forgiveness and be adopted into the family of God. Today, we live in a much different world. We have easy access to world travel. You can turn on a TV and see what's happening in the world. We have internet we can use to access information on anything you can imagine. Yet, we tend to live in a very small circle of people, such as our immediate family and close friends. We always seem to be busy with work, maintaining our homes, volunteering, recreation, the things of life in our society. Mel and I have two daughters, and when they were young, they were both in figure skaters. They were involved in school sports, baseball in the summer, swim lessons, et cetera. You know, we're going fishing, we're camping. Busy times when you have children, as most of you know. Today, they are both married, each have three children, and when they need our help, we don't hesitate. Why? Because they're family and we love them dearly. Being busy is just life in the society we live in. Our church family is no different. We all have commitments that we must keep. When I was working at the mine, I could only come to church 50% of the time because of the shift I was on. I found it hard not having time for fellowship with other Christians. The reason I found it so hard is because we are meant to have fellowships. We are family. It is our nature. God brought us together as family. We are supposed to. We know it. We know it inside. We feel it. And when we're away from it, we miss it. Mark 12:30-31. Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater than these. Of course, he's speaking of the two greatest commandments. To really love each other as a family is a commandment, and it's a great gift. Wherever we travel in this world, we have brothers and sisters. How awesome it is to be a child of God. As a small church family living in today's society that demands so much of our time, we still have to find time for each other. In Hebrews 13:16 we read, "And do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifice God is pleased." The scriptures really do say it all. I'm not a great speaker. You know, I step up to the plate when the pastor's been away a couple of times now, and I think the pastor has a real gift. You know, he's blessed by God to be a teacher. That's not my gift. But sometimes we need to step out of the boat onto the crashing waves. The reason we do it, that's where Jesus is. And if we really want to meet him, then we have to step out of our comfort zone. I would like to challenge all of us this week in light of what was put on my heart. And I'll tell you, this came to me. This isn't what I was originally going to speak on at all. So I was preparing something totally different. What, a month and a half ago when we first talked about me speaking today. So I got busy researching things on a totally different topic. We were doing a study, a Bible study on Romans, a small group of us. And what really jumped out at me was the last chapter where he really spoke of family. And we were a small group, so we were sharing more intimate thoughts with each other because it's a small group. And the insights that came up together really spoke to me that, you know, this is what's needed. It's this type of unity, this type of love. And so then I changed and I wrote this mostly out of Romans because it was put on my heart to do so. It was also put on my heart that I don't really make a lot of effort to reach out to this church family other than on Sundays where we all chat and visit with each other. And when I read Jesus saying that the second greatest command is to love one another, I feel like I'm falling kind of short. So I would like to challenge myself and everybody here to reach out to at least one person in this church family this week. Reach out to as many as you want, but at least one. Make it a commitment. From there, let it grow. Let other people see the commitment to family that this church has, that they will desire to be part of it and to join us because they'll want to have what we have. They want to have brothers and sisters. People all over the world want to belong. Even the gangs of the world use this technique to draw people in. They take people who are without hope and they say, well, you come join us and you'll have money, you'll have clothes, place to live. Yeah, you'll be a criminal, but at least you belong. We can offer something so much more. We offer hope through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We offer eternity. We offer love. So that is my challenge to you. I'm sorry it's so short. But speaking, like I said, is not my best thing. But looking at the scriptures, how can you say anything better than the way it's written? I went through so many scriptures, like I can't use all these. If you research love in your Bible, good luck. You're going to be there a while. Might as well just start at the beginning and read the whole book again, right? Because it's everywhere. And I had quite a list. And then I had to pick out things that were really pertinent. But yeah, I did my best. there is coffee and goodies. Let's get together. Keep that commitment. And we'll mention it to Scotland, and maybe we can touch on it next week too. And, you know, let it grow, let the love grow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your words, for the scriptures, Lord. Teach us so much. Every time we read them, Lord, we receive something else, and we know it is through you opening our hearts and minds. And we praise and glorify you for that, Lord God. We thank you as we leave. I pray your blessings on all people here, your children, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please enjoy.